whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Here we go, Hour 1, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan on one of the greatest football Fridays you'll ever see, especially if the Cowboys aren't participating over the weekend. We still have tons of stuff to talk about, and we're going to open quickly with the latest on the Mike McCarthy story arc, and then we're going to get into the college football semifinals, Texas and Ohio State tonight out there at the stadium. General, at your service, salute to you. Thanks for making us part of your day. Hope everybody's staying cold or warm and safe out there yeah. through the cold. Looks like not much traffic still. A lot of people stayed home.
They did.
Brian brought us here in studio. Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup at Master Control here, 75 and Fitzhugh. You do have Woolchuck and Chiofalo remote broadcasting this afternoon. And a good afternoon to you, gentlemen. How the heck are you?
Great.
Fantastic. Great. You're right, General. This is going to be an amazing Friday of football. And if it's anything like last night's Orange Bowl, we are in for a treat. Fingers crossed we get another instant classic.
I mean, this has to be the greatest football Friday in which the Cowboys are not participating of all time. And at least tied for first.
In our own backyard, too,
like,
which is even better.
Yeah. So after several days of discussions, Cowboys owner Jerry Jones and coach Mike McCarthy remain open to moving forward together, and the sides are expected to open talks today on a new contract. That's from Tom Pelissero. To keep him in Dallas, there have been no negotiations yet and still are other issues to work through. McCarthy's contract set to expire Tuesday, giving the Cowboys a few more days to work out a deal. Otherwise, McCarthy would be free to pursue other opportunities. Maybe we get one of these Sunday morning, like during the TV extravaganza?
Maybe so. I've been told that these talks are a little premature.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
In what way?
A lot of these reports we're starting to hear coming out of this whole thing are of not being what they've said they're going to be or what they are being right now. So just I think there's an interest there, but there's a lot of like, oh, they're going to do this and do that and do this and do that. And I'm kind of getting the vibe that that we might need to just tap the brakes on some of this stuff.
Still standing by to stand by. But do you feel like Tuesday is maybe a deadline here? With the contract ending there, the exclusive window, we'll have something by then, won't we?
One way or another. And, you know, like we talked about, and the league really doesn't encourage you to be breaking news when the games are going on.
Yeah.
So maybe the Monday and Tuesday. But like I said, there's a lot of reports that have been circulating. And I was just talking to a bunch of guys and gals around the league and stuff. And everybody seems to think that some of these reports, the Tom Pelissero's and people like that, are a little bit premature. So,
well, he did say a lot of negotiating and things to sort through still.
Yeah, I think that's way of kind of like keeping, as you like to say, keeping the story alive a little bit.
Yeah.
And we'll see. It's going to come down to Jerry and Don Yee. Those guys are the ones that are going to be the one. They know where the parameters are. You know, I know personally, I've been trying to kind of find out, are there going to be ramifications about, you know, they're like, hey, don't do this, and like, can you do that, and blah blah blah, and all that, kind of like, cause I was, you know, being told, no, I think that's not the accurate way to put it. So there's going to be negotiations. We'll see though if they're going to get this thing done or not. But there's a lot of things being talked about that I think they're a little premature. And then my evaluation of, is Mike going to be under some stipulations? I don't know if the word stipulations is the right way to put it.
99% is what I'm calling it, Woolchuck and Chiofalo. I think this thing is pretty much locked up, and we're heading for some discussions. I just don't think Mike could be asked to do anything that he hasn't done before. You know, and he said in that final week just how much he wants to come back to these Cowboys. Woolchuck, what's your read?
I'm reading it the same as you are. I mean, I do think, like, we've seen for whatever reason the Cowboys, we just can't act as a normal organization. We got to wait to the last minute to do everything. We got to milk this thing for all the drama that we possibly can get out of it. So I guess Tuesday, if that's the deadline where now all of a sudden all your coaches could possibly go sign somewhere else, Mike's now free. If they want Mike McCarthy, the deal's going to be done by Tuesday. And I expect that to end up happening, because then it's like, if you don't want Mike, what the hell are you doing? If he isn't your head coach, why in the world haven't you just said, we're moving jumping on, and now you can go ahead and start scheduling interviews, which the rest of the league is doing.
Yeah.
That's just it. That's another level of frustration. If it turns out Mike's not back, which would be shocking, it just adds another element of, like, what in the bleep are you doing over there, and why do you operate this way?
Yeah, if we get to Wednesday and there's no deal, then I think it gets really exciting, Chief, because then we could start talking about maybe there are some candidates and, you know, maybe I'd have a bet payoff on the line or something, considering how much I'm standing on a table for this. But, you know, the only explanation would be Jerry's just buying time until Aaron Glenn or Kellen Moore becomes available to chat with.
Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, those guys you could have chatted with this week if you were getting ahead of it, if you were able to make decisions sooner. You could have had some interviews and got this ball rolling. But I think it speaks to just the level of how low they regard the general head coach position. Like, dude, we can see all the top guys fly off. We'll just go get some random guy. They're not going to go after the best anyways. They're not trying to go get Ben Johnson. They're probably not trying to go get Mike Vrabel. They're trying to get a get-along guy, and they feel like they can get one, whether it's whether they started it this week or if they wait till next week. I just think it's hilarious that there have been no negotiations yet and still are other issues to work through. That's what Pelissero said. Like, what have you been doing this whole week? What's the point? You just been not in contact with this guy? You haven't been doing anything in regards to seeing it through with him, but you're still keeping them around here and not letting them go to other interviews? Like, they are just hilarious with the way they go about this stuff.
So that is the very latest, and you know, if there is any breaking news throughout the day, I'd be surprised. We'll break in with that. Of course, we'll have a lot of weekend coverage. Our Will Chambers is going to join us live coming up at 4:40 from the stadium. He is attending Texas and Ohio State tonight. Always appreciate Chambers' college football perspective. That should be a good report. He'll set the scene for you coming up at 4:40. All I know is if I was betting on this game, and I might, I'm laying horns. I mean, you're getting 6.5 points in some books. This is, you know, I guess it was a 1.5 spread before Arizona State came back and Ohio State blew the doors off of Oregon. That, I think, would be a fair point spread, maybe 2.5. But, I mean, over a field goal, I'm thinking, dude, this might be the opportunity that I need to lay a little action tonight there and you know, just get the heartbeat up a little bit. Just get you locked in a little bit more. I know it doesn't take much, but majority of the bets are coming in on the Buckeyes. 72% of the bets placed, 82% of the money wagered at ESPN Bet coming in on Ohio State Friday morning. Are you guys with me? Do you like the horns plus nearly a dang touchdown?
Oh, my goodness. I do. And maybe that's a little bit of bias talking. I know that I'm a Walmart, Texas fan. My allegiance is always with the North Texas Mean Green. That's where my college money went. But growing up in the great state, it's hard not to have some affinity for Texas, at least personally. I know a lot of people would say, go bleep yourself. That's not true. But I think the biggest question mark is, how does Quinn Ewers perform in this football game? He was red hot at the end against Arizona State, went 11-4, had those touchdown passes. But we have just seen moments where you have a really good Texas offense that's humming along, and then you get a big stall. The other element will be the red zone offense. Ohio State has the best red zone defense in college football. Texas has struggled in the red zone. They fixed that a little bit against Clemson. Clemson, though, had the worst red zone defense in the playoff. So was that a little bit of, okay, you were able to take advantage of a weak opponent there? If Texas is able to move the football, field goals, especially with a kicker who is unreliable, are not going to win you this football game against an offense that can get hot. Texas defense also needs to come out early and prove they can get pressure on Will Howard. If they can get him rattled, you're not going to see the same player that was super comfortable and was able to sit back there and make a sandwich and throw the ball to Jeremiah Smith, Emeka Egbuka, Carnell Tate, and the rest of these stud wide receivers at Ohio State. You look at Jefferson, you look at some of the pass rushers up front for Texas, they're going to have to get after it. Maybe Anthony Hines on some blitzes. Maybe you get creative and you send some safety blitzes with Makuba, who's really good around the line of scrimmage. But for Texas, defense needs to start off early, and can Quinn put a full four quarters together?
By the way, Chambers was listening, and he texted, don't bet until we talk.
Okay.
So maybe some very valuable handicapping coming up with Chambers at 4:40. Do you like his picks usually? He does wager a lot.
He does wager a lot, and the thing about it is he's really, really smart on his college football, so he might have a couple different angles that we're not talking about right now.
Looking forward to that. Looking forward to telling you about the lasagna that Broadus put together. It's LA's birthday tomorrow. By request, got the lasagna. You guys are missing out.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Tremendous. Is that why you drove up?
Yeah, that's exactly why.
I had fun doing the show from home yesterday, but man, you know, sometimes like the kids and the wife just don't understand. I'm also at work. Like Chief looks like he's got pretty good scene control, but I was handling like two questions from each every break. You know, I was working more off the air than on the air yesterday. So I decided we're having enough of that. It's time for daddy to head into work.
Respect to you on that decision. There are some obstacles at home. I have my oldest laying in bed right now. She's being good. She's being quiet, but it usually brings the younger ones in, and then everybody's got to get out of here. So we had a couple of interesting commercial breaks yesterday as well. So we will we'll fight through it today. But I feel like I can smell that lasagna from here, bro. I feel like you hit it out of the freaking park, dude.
Well, yeah, but thank you. Appreciate that. And again, happy birthday to Lucius.
No, man, chef's kiss to you, brother. That was amazing. And I don't even like mess with bread like that, but whatever you did to that bread,
Well,
I'm going back in there and getting some more.
I tell you what I enjoyed to do.
Soak up some of that liquor I had last night, too.
I do the olive oil. I like to infuse it with the garlic.
Ooh, oh, there you go.
That's banging, bro.
So I just try and do a little extra. That's it.
Bro, you are in your bag, bro.
Well, thank you.
And you made that last night.
Yeah.
And brought it. Come on. Yeah. Ah! All right, I'm sorry.
Quite a teammate there.
Sorry, I just had a moment there. Thank you, man. I appreciate
it. Happy early cake day, bro.
Yeah.
No, that the garlic bread one, it hits perfect, and you get that perfect bite with the sauce and the cheese and the ricotta and everything. Yeah. Just
well, thank beautiful. You, guys. I appreciate you being nice about it.
Appreciate you. Okay. It was good.
No, I'm serious.
Good lasagna.
I don't have to force that. I promise you.
I love to cook. I just love to cook.
I don't know how you have time for all this, Brian. We got 4 mile walks. We got a college football playoff game. We got college football players. We got a scout. And you're out here whipping up homemade lasagna.
I would like to thank the men and women at the Cooper Clinic today for cleaning off the track. So got to walk in before I came to work today. So appreciate that. But
certified badass.
Yeah. Well, no. We're after it, man. We're after it.
There's so many ways to talk about this semifinal game tonight.
Yeah.
One of them might be, do you believe in the Ted Cruz curse?
Oh, no.
It could be in play. He's got a wager with J.D. Vance, apparently.
From Ohio.
Since 2017, bettors who placed moneyline wagers against teams that Cruz supported in person have achieved a 15-2 record.
Wow.
Dude cannot catch a break when he goes to these games. He's 2-13. A better placing a hundo on each of these games would have netted a profit of approximately $2,344 over the years. So
wow, I don't know if there's anything Will Chambers can say with us at 440 that'll take me off of that particular trend right there. My dear God. That
yeah, I guess
seems like a lock.
Do not play money line. You know, if we do get a pan in and Cruz is in the audience, you know, it might be a plus the points only type of situation. Notable instances: Longhorn Sugar Bowl 2024, attended the game beaten by the Huskies. Astros 2023, baby. He was present game 7 against the Rangers where Texas went down there and whooped that ass. Cowboys playoff exit when they were humiliated by the Green Bay Packers as well. Maybe the three most notable.
We need to get him up in filthy on Sunday in a
yes.
jersey, you know?
yeah, get this guy in the Saquon jersey. Got to be something. He could maybe a Jalen Hurts jersey. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Texas kid. Mavericks got a second win in a row last night, Brian. It was glorious. They were 18-2 to close it down.
You know me, I get distracted here. Let me ask my young guys in the audience here. Does Carson Beck date one of those basketball?
Yeah, sure does.
So he went to Miami,
yep.
And the girls are back at Miami.
Yeah, I think it's Hannah. I think Haley's the one that dates Fergie. So I think Hannah already came out with a post that it's a great day for the U.
Okay. And,
They're excited about it.
There's some good recruiting going on for the U right there. You know?
$4 million. I saw that was reported the price for Carson Beck. I think that's money that won't end up being well spent, but we'll see. I'll eat crow if I'm wrong.
Well, I'll tell you what though, good for the Canes. Dawson, it was a good victory last night because I was starting to mark off games like
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
It would just have been embarrassing to lose to the Trailblazers. I mean, one of the worst coach, lowest IQ basketball teams you'll ever see.
Yeah.
And the Mavs, I understand, you know, it's going to be tough, especially if a team's committed to playing defense and rebounding like the Trailblazers were. But Lively came through huge down the stretch, ends up with 21-16. Yeah. P.J. Washington had a massive game, 23-14. And, of course, Jaden Hardy there with 25.
Mm-hmm.
You know, lit it up again. So they're off the next two nights and take on the Nuggets Sunday. Congrats to the Dallas Stars. What's that, 6 in a row?
It sure is.
They're in Montreal tomorrow. All righty, G-Bag Nation. Hopefully you are locked in. Let's go get Rangers with some bases. What do you say, Wolchuk?
Let's go get them. See why I was talking on foul territory. What did he have to say about your 2025 Texas Rangers? They look make it back to the World Series. That's next.
Welcome back, Nation. G-Bag of the Day coming up at 2:30 here with you on the Fan, segment of the Nation brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. A G-Bag of the Day is coming up at 2:30, and it's time now for a proper round tripper. Here's Wolchuk.
Let's do it. Rangers general manager CY was on with Foul Territory yesterday. We will get to some of what he had to say if you missed it. Rangers also did agree to contracts with outfielder Leody Taveras and catcher Jonah Himes. They're avoiding arbitration with both of them. It will be $4.75 million for Leody per John Heyman, and then Jonah's going to make just a little bit over $4.5 million, according to Mark Finesand. So, hey, look, for Jonah, it was a down year last year, but now you add Kyle Higashioka, so hopefully he's not forced to play as much as he has had to the previous, really, 3 years. Like, Jonah didn't have another catcher on the roster that they really, really felt comfortable with. Jonah's had to play a lot. I think some of that had to do with his regression. That's a taxing, grueling position. So now you're able to split time there. Maybe he's able to DH a little bit. He's still one of the best defensive catchers in the sport.
Yeah.
But is he able to get to the offense of peak that he was at 2 years ago?
Well, that would be great. But, you know, I consider that icing on the cake, and he's going to have some really good offensive years, but a lot of them, especially with his frame and just the way that he profiles as a hitter,
yeah,
it's not going to be that consistent. But you love having Jonah Heim on the team because of the things that you mentioned.
100%. I think Higashioka can help add a little more consistency with the bat there.
Nice.
So that'll be, I mean, you might even see him DH at times if Jock Peterson's not doing that role. But we know CY, he's talked to us about it. He's been very outspoken in a lot of the audio we've played this offseason about wanting to get the offense back to where they were in 2023. There was some regression with guys that didn't play necessarily as well as they had hoped. Guys like Adolis Garcia, you had the injury to Josh Young. Corey was banged up throughout the year. Simeon obviously had a down season. They bring in Jake Berger, who they're pumped about. They bring in Jock Peterson, who they're excited about, and guys that can rake when it comes to the fastball. But what is COI's feeling on pitching currently?
On the pitching side, you know, we lost some key members to our bullpen. So really upgrading our bullpen and improving our bullpen, both, you know, really the leverage spots and kind of the middle innings and the floor of our bullpen has been an objective. And we've had a number of signings that we think have improved our bullpen and put us in a better spot. We're still open-minded in terms of improving our bullpen and finding the right leverage arms to kind of help us close out games. And then on the starting pitching front, we feel pretty good about our starting pitching with a healthy Jacob DeGrom. We were able to bring back Nathan Eovaldi, who has been such an instrumental piece of our success here and such a wonderful person and teammate, somebody who really embodies our values, and we're thrilled that he's back. And then a healthy Tyler Mahle, Cody Bradford, the young starting pitcher. And then, you know, we have John Gray, Kamar Rocker, and Jack Leiter. And we feel like we've got pretty good depth in our starting pitching. So overall, we feel good. I think one of the things I've learned is I never feel great about things, that I'm constantly looking to find ways to improve or upgrade. But nonetheless, we feel really good about the work that we've done and where we sit at this point. That said, we know that you know, going into spring and into the season, we'll constantly look for ways to improve.
That's one thing about CY that you gotta love, and is a polar opposite to all the conversations we have on a daily basis about how it operates over there at the Star in Frisco. You don't have a doubt that CY would even be staying up late at night thinking, how in the hell can I make this team better? He had a quote from this interview there with Foul Territory. He said, we've created more competition on our roster. I think we've got an overall deeper roster than what we had going into the spring. I want to give him the best possible roster, as in Boach, to let him go work his magic. He admitted he didn't do a good enough job last year. He didn't think he gave his team a good enough roster. He takes accountability, and he's working every single day. If he sees a weakness, how can I upgrade that weakness? Because of their actions, every single Cowboy fan has to second-guess and question, is that going on with the guys that are running and operating things over there in Frisco? I want to be able to argue it and say, yes, I can't do it anymore. I can't fall on the sword as a diehard Cowboy fan. I don't believe it, but I sure as hell believe it when it comes to Chris Young and where the Rangers are at.
Yeah, you have to have the stomach and the work ethic to, you know, really want to and feel driven to turn over every leaf every single day looking for an opportunity to get better. And I feel like the Cowboys just kind of have it on autopilot. They let the deals come to them. They let the deadlines make the deals. And, you know, there's an untold amount of opportunity that I don't feel like they're harvesting because they've made it. I don't feel like they're desperately hungry for the next championship like Chris Young is and like so many others that ultimately win it are. You know, like the Joneses are more close to a Robert Kraft skill set when it comes. But the great thing about Kraft is he let football people handle it. You know, and if you want to go enjoy the spoils of being a billionaire, go do it. You know, just don't have the title or, you know, the decision-making power that the Cowboys did. If they could just check in like once every 90 days for an update from an actual football guy and sort of weigh in on stuff, that would be ideal. And until then, I don't expect this trend to reverse, Wolchuk.
I don't either. And it's a sad state to be in as a Cowboy fan, but it's a great state to be in as a Ranger fan because you know you got a guy that is not going to leave any stone unturned. And in fact, if they see that there's a player they want, see why on how aggressive they are on pursuing said players.
I subscribe to kind of the theory you just described, which is when we want a player, we're very aggressive in trying to pursue that player. And we try to put our best foot forward and make the best offer possible. And sometimes that's good enough and sometimes it's not. And but nonetheless, there's not a whole lot of games that we go through. It's certainly very straightforward in terms of our approach to free agency. But I think the key is just identifying the player, the right player that we want. And then sometimes there is a timing to the market that, the player isn't ready or he's still receiving offers or maybe we're not ready. We're still feeling out the market. So there is a little give and take with it. But nonetheless, when we want someone, we try to be aggressive and really pursue pretty hard.
The job they've done this offseason is outstanding. You know, he just spoke about we could use one more high leverage arm. Probably mm-hmm. They're looking for an actual closer, but I mean, you look at what they've done with the relievers they've added and Berger and Peterson, the guys they're getting healthy and bringing back Eovaldi. I mean, this has been more than I would have expected and nearly as much as you could possibly ask for.
It's been incredible. And really listening to him, I don't know that there's a guy that they've really wanted that they haven't been able to get. You know, Eovaldi had a lot of interest from some other really good organizations and clubs with Atlanta, with Baltimore. He decided he wanted to come back. Eric, you mentioned Chris Martin taking less because he wanted to come back to the Rangers. He was in Boston. He was with a storied organization with the Red Sox that are trying to get back to the World Series. He sees what's going on in Texas. Yeah, he's a Texas kid, but these dudes at the end of their career want to win rings. They believe they can do it here. A big part of that is CY1, as he said, making the best offer possible, not lowballing, but also identifying the right type of guys to bring in here. But those players also see, man, Texas, what they got cooking, that's something I want to be a part of.
Yeah, even with a guy like Roki Sasaki having the Rangers in and amongst the finalists for teams that he might be willing to play for. He's got every reason to want to play for the Dodgers or the Padres, and more than likely that's what ends up happening with him. But still, just the idea that he's got Texas in his final three or four whatever teams, it just shows like what they're building and guys do want to be here.
It's a great sign, the fact that Eovaldi came back and you got those other dudes. I think, you know, that same sort of momentum they had when Boach took the gig and suddenly everybody was looking at this as a real legitimate contender. I feel that energy back as, you know, spring training now right around the corner. Okay, it's time now to go into the Pimp Cup where Lucius Alexander has your Football Friday G-Bag of the Day.
Keep on. Cancun Cruise is a fly name, though, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I know you got it off a weird situation, but that's a fly name. Cancun Cruise, dog?
Yeah. Yeah, if you need Cancun Cruise in your 20s, that guy is just the plug for any kind of fun.
Cancun Cruise. He knows exactly where it is. And if he doesn't, he has a guy. And I got a guy, man.
I got a guy.
I'll text you back. Keep your phone on. All right, let's see here. What we got? Tampa Bay's play-by-play guy, Gene Deckerhoff. Right? Am I saying that right?
So?
Yeah. Maybe you're nailing it.
I feel like you guys said Decker off the other day.
Yeah, I was a little strong in that, but
I think you're supposed to eat the H on that. It's there, but you're just supposed to. It's like a silent H.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a munch.
Okay, so it's Deckerhoff again.
Deckerhoff.
Oh, Deckerhoff. Gene Deckerhoff. He was calling Baker Mayfield's beautiful touchdown to Jalen McMillan.
McMillan.
McMillan. Boy, I tell you what.
We're going to remember.
The extra M is silent in that one, too.
Well, I tell you what, there's a whole lot of eating these. Get rid of the vowels and these letters and these consonants if you're not going to use them. If you're not going to use them, I'm just saying. Get rid of them, man.
Get rid of them.
Yes. I support that.
Hell of a play-by-play call right here, though. He rushed it out. He's pretty excited about it, and I love it.
Shot empty backfield look for Baker Mayfield now. Three receivers to his right. Good snap, belt high. Looking upfield, looking, flushed out of the pocket. Dances outside, throws the ball upfield. He's got a receiver. Open, call, touchdown, Tampa Bay.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious to me, bro. And he looks nothing like he sounds,
right?
I'll tell you what, about that radio or something else.
Yeah. I thought he'd be like Monty Kiffin, like tall and super skinny.
No.
He's holding up pretty good.
He had a nice jean jacket on when we interviewed him, though. Especially
jean jacket.
Yeah,
he's a denim on.
Yeah. He had a black denim jacket with some really nice stitch on it.
Okay.
Like Tampa Bay stitch and stuff.
Okay.
So like, yeah, the missus probably like saying, "Hey, Gene, when you go on the road, you can wear some of these jackets."
She hooked him up. Looked like he was from Crowley.
He did.
Yeah.
He's going to the feed store afterwards.
Looked like a grapevine mom. Y'all needed some little rubies and stuff on it.
He was close.
Yeah.
Must be young at heart, man, wearing the denim.
Yeah, he's got the denim jacket.
He talks faster than any 80-year-old I've ever heard.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Packers running back. What time the Packers play this weekend? They play this
3:30 Sunday.
3:30 Sunday. All right, well.
Look at Chief. He's got it all mapped out on top of his head.
As he should. Yep. As he should.
Big weekend.
Running back right here, Josh Jacobs. He dropped a pause on the media because, you know, you never can be too safe.
Since I've been here anyways, there's always talk about Super Bowl and winning the North. So that's definitely something that, you know, we don't take, you know what I'm saying, a certain type of way. It's definitely a weird feeling in our mouths or whatever. Pause. But yeah.
Never can be too safe out
these
there.
Guys,
you know what I mean?
So aware now.
It's always good when they pause themselves too.
Yeah.
You never know who's playing the game, so you gotta pause yourself. Yeah, well, you look online, all of a sudden you're trending. You're like, dang, bro, come on, man. I was being serious in that moment.
It's the first I've ever heard about the feeling in the mouth as opposed to just simply the taste.
Yeah.
Or in the throat.
I think that's called the baby reindeer, Woolchuck.
Yes.
I heard y'all talking about that. I'm with Woolchuck. I did watch it. And you are 100% correct, Dawson. It is a...
Oh, yeah.
It is an effed up show.
There's some stuff I wish I never saw.
I watched the conclusion of it last night because Woolchuck was like, it's okay, you're through the worst of it.
Yeah.
And I never really felt like I had the ending that we were...
Yeah, no, you're right.
I think. After
no, I agree with you. But I guess it's a true story. And
oh, is it?
Yeah, okay. It's all like this all really happened. All those crazy emails you see, those are legit her crazy emails.
Yeah, it's pretty good, man. And it did remind me of kids a little bit when it comes to just being messed up.
Yeah.
I have no legs. Have no legs.
Could you just show me the aftermath?
Yeah, just get it over with, man.
Yeah.
Just be like, I can't believe what happened last night. I
had enough. Yeah. All right, let's go to the AA. That is not it. The ACC Network. Oh. Host Taylor Tannenbaum. You guys familiar with Taylor Tannenbaum?
Taylor Tannenbaum.
No. Is that Mike's sister?
No, I thought you guys were going to tell me that, actually.
I have no idea.
I thought you were going to tell me. But yeah,
it's one of those names, though.
She's a fine broadcaster.
She's a fine
broadcaster. She stopped her interview with Stanford star player to interview some kid that was in the back, like, you know, doing the floss dance and just trying to get attention. She's like, hey, let's stop this interview and talk to that kid.
And you are on that list. Before we continue with this interview, I need you to turn around your left shoulder. There's a kid dancing, cooking in the pot. I need you to look at him. Look, now he's going to run away. Yeah, he does.
He's doing amazing. He's doing amazing. He's doing amazing. Come here, come here. Come
Get
see the TV.
The
come see the TV. Come here, come here, come here. Come around, come around. Yeah, yeah, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming.
Yeah, you know, this is what it's all about. The fans coming out to watch you play there in that arena. And look, you're going to make this kid's day. See if he can talk into the microphone. Ask him what his name is. Tell him to lean into the mic. Get his name at least.
Hey, what's your name? What's your name?
I'm Isaac.
What do you think of the game today?
It was great. You did awesome.
I did awesome. What about the team, though? What about the team?
The team did very well. They played together very well.
Yeah? That's awesome. Are you going to be a big supporter this year?
Yes.
I love it. Thank you so much.
There it is.
Perfect. What a moment. Shout out to Isaac.
Well done.
Yeah.
Player might have done a better job than Taylor.
Yeah.
Yeah. During the broadcast for
Yeah. But clearly they don't play the pause game where in Stanford.
No. He's doing amazing. He's doing amazing. He's doing amazing. Come here, come here. Come
Get
see
the
TV.
He's coming, he's coming.
Okay, come here, come here, come here. Come around, come around. Yeah, yeah, he's coming, he's coming. He's coming.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That's a lot going on.
Missed opportunity there for Taylor.
That's a lot going on. Last one, because I'm up against it again, bro. Cowboys crosstalk, the final Cowboys crosstalk of the season. Bobby Belt sent me this one. Tony Tolbert, he went to UTEP, right?
Yes.
And there was something about UTEP out there. Now, I didn't know that. Are they burning, like, evidence, the police? If they confiscate marijuana, are they burning it out there? Or is it?
That's
what's going
El Paso.
On? Yeah, El Paso. What's going on?
Because I always thought they smoked it themselves.
Yeah. Super trooper type vibes. Look what I got for the evidence room, man.
Good pull.
Man, I went to into the investigators room one night during, what do you call that, a ride-along with my brother, and there were like Walmart bags of weed just all lined up on the tables.
Oh, bro.
It was wild.
Let me pinch off a little bit, dog, please, for your boy, man. Come on. Yeah, Tony Tolbert is going to tell you why he liked UTEP, though.
And you go to UTEP. Was it a culture shock?
Oh, yeah, it was rough.
he had that blizzard on campus and said, let me go to El Paso.
Well, it was funny because, you know, I right across the campus, of course, was Juarez.
Yeah.
And my first spring, tumbleweeds, wasn't, you know, never seen a tumbleweed. And then, you know, I probably shouldn't tell this story, but it was funny because in the spring, a lot of the guys were sitting out in front, you know, the football guys. And I'm like, okay, what's going on here? You know, I'm going to go out and just check it out. And when I walked out across the border, they were burning marijuana, and all the guys were getting high down there. and so I was like, okay, I get it now. But you know, that was a
contact high.
Yeah,
boy,
that's like basically
contact.
Basically. But it was about 2 years.
Can't contact a new meaning.
Literally.
So you hang out downwind from the confiscation spot?
Yeah.
That's funny, man.
That's real rich because Nate Newton is there.
Yeah,
it's so rich. It's so rich, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a cut and a half right there. Is a Gene Decker off, our three-time champ, firing those cannons with a receiver. Josh Jacobs paused himself. Taylor Tannenbaum interviewing the Stanford star had 19-14 last night. Cowboys crosstalk there with Tony Tolbert. Yeah, I'll go with Tony there. What do you say? Who's next, Chief?
Yeah, that'll be me, and I'll double down on it. That was great.
Lucius?
Wouldn't it be crazy to throw, like, a brick of weed in the fireplace while your friends are hanging
like a
out?
Log.
Like, yeah.
Like a nice Yule season log while you guys are playing pool and drinking and everything. Wouldn't that be amazing? I'm just saying. I'm going to go with Gene Dekaroff.
It's 2-1, Wolchuk.
I'll tie it up for Brian. Let's go with Gene.
Brian?
Wow, I knew you were going to do that. I'll go with Tony Tolbert.
By a score of 3-2, and your new G-Bag of the Day champion, talking about his days back there at UTEP, it's Tony Tolbert. Okay, where are we going next, Eric?
All right, we got a little Biggest L, Biggest Dub, 877-881-1053. Where have you taken some L's this week? More importantly, where have you gotten those personal victories? That's next right here in the nation.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Doesn't look like many headed into work because the roads are still very light, so enjoying light traffic and drier pavement, at least for now, as long as we don't get any more you know, rain or snow. Maybe the drive could be safe over the weekend and into tonight. We shall see. But it's time now to take a look at the biggest L's and biggest dubs. And here's your host, Eric Chiafalo.
Yes, sir. Thank you. 877-881-1053. Where have you taken some L's this week? More importantly, where have you gotten those personal victories? We all take a big dub with Quan Cosby joining the program here in about 15 minutes. Here's British Ian. We start in the 214. Our buddy Woody, biggest L, has two broken teeth.
Ah, Woody, come on, dog.
Big dub, though, because he's still clean and sober. Coming up on 13 months now.
Look at that, man.
Off the bench.
Good run.
Oh, he got to go to the dentist now, though, right?
I think that's next up on the priority list. For sure.
Come on, man. Stay strong, homeboy.
About to find out how strong that ibuprofen is.
We're thinking about you, Woody. You're the man.
Yeah.
682, biggest dub and L, he says. He got a deal on the lower level tickets to Mavs Nuggets. But, of course, there's no Luka or Kyrie, so... that takes the shine off a little bit. But, hey, if you're going to have a up-close-and-personal view at a Hardy party, at a Derek Lively taking the mm-hmm. next step mm-hmm. at 20 years old, that's still going to be a hot ticket, and you get to see the Joker and whatnot. What a great Mavs win. Talk about dubs. Last night was fantastic, dude. And, I mean, you're talking about Portland with 4.5 minutes remaining. And they were up considerably.
11.
They had a 96% win probability in that moment. Wow. And then they didn't score another basket, and the Mavs went on a bit of a tear. So, epic night at the AAC. And it coincided perfectly with halftime. The final few minutes of that game with the Mavs, it coincided perfectly with halftime of the Notre Dame game.
Sure
so,
did.
It just, the stars aligned. The sports got kicked off in a great way last night, and these next few days are going to be pretty epic. Let's see here. We got 214, biggest dub, my guy Carson Beck, leaving Georgia for Miami. Thank you for freeing the spot so we can go back to winning championships. So a Bulldog is happy to see Carson Beck go. Not that he was going to be there anyways. He was either going to the draft or he was going elsewhere. I guess it's going to be Stockton time in Athens. But
I think they need to do better there.
I do, too.
I think they realize they need to do better there.
And they should be able to recruit Georgia. A guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
They need or to do better. They need a legitimate passer. Yeah. And Stockton's a tough guy. Don't get me wrong. But they need somebody that can, when they bring all that skill in and use those mammoth offensive linemen and the way they run the ball, they a legitimate quarterback would make a huge difference there.
Huge win for Beck, though, because he gets $4 million, as Walchuk mentioned, in NIL money. It's crazy how much the market has already shifted. Last year, Cam Ward gets $1.5 million mm-hmm. to go be the one-year mercenary man at Miami. He has an amazing year, and now it's already gone from $1.5 million to $4 million for what most people believe to be a lesser quarterback.
Kind of a broken quarterback.
Yeah. And how about as perspective, like, you had Will Levis, right, as a quarterback in the second round. He made just under $1 million in base salary as the Titans quarterback this season. So Carson Beck, who I believe Dane Brugler was like, yeah, probably would have been picked in like maybe the fourth or fifth round had he actually continued with his declaration to the NFL draft. So this is a no-brainer move for Carson Beck. Miami loaded offensively with some really good weapons and a great offensive line. So we'll see how he can show out, but coming off the elbow, that's going to be tough.
Hey, I'm lost. I'm lost in this moment. I thought this was just UI. Who's paying the kids?
Boosters. Schools boosters.
So we're flattening the school is saying we're going to give you $4 million to be here.
Collectives.
I thought you can just go make your own money now. That type of vibe.
Yeah, there's.
You can do that too. You can get endorsement deals and have it on your social media and stuff like that. Yeah. So there's still other dollars to be had.
Wow, the school is paying you $4 million. So does everybody get like a salary? And then you go up from there.
That's kind of wild, bro.
Yeah. I didn't see it getting that out of hand that fast. Yeah, I thought it was going to be, hey, the kids won't be broke, and we're not going to hunt them down if they go sell their rings for tattoos.
Yeah. The thing that I thought was pretty neat, I was going through all the players, the quarterbacks that have private airplane deals. Like there's companies, those private jets and stuff, that several of these quarterbacks have deals with them, and they're like, flying their families into games, going to spring break, you know, getting all their buddies
that
together.
That I get. I just didn't know the schools were like out here breaking $4 million for a quarterback.
Yeah.
Crazy, dude.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy. Big L to Deshaun Watson, who has done the unthinkable thing of re-tearing his Achilles tendon just 3 months prior to him tearing it the first time. I have no idea how he did this. Was he rehabbing too hard, training too hard?
TikTok dancing,
whatever it is. Huge L for him. Not financially, though, because, of course, he had the guaranteed deal. But I do think this ends up being a dub for the Browns. Insurance policies and different things like that. I think they'll actually save a little bit of money here, at least when it comes to like their salary cap and stuff.
Can they move on from him with like cause now or something like that? If he did this not, you know, a football related thing?
I don't, you would probably know better than me, Broadus.
I'm asking. I'm just throwing it out. I didn't know if there are ways
to
get out.
That'd be a tough thing to win.
There's ways to get out of contracts. Like did he do something that you know was not football prescribed to tear it, and does that get you out of the deal?
You know? I'd be trying if I'm Cleveland, man. Any way to get out of this? I think right now we just need to bite the bullet and figure out a buyout and try to move on from this whole situation. I've never seen somebody turn from having a great career. That's like instant football career karma. You know, just bang, it's over.
So he's been splitting time with Cleveland and Miami for his rehab, and he reported that he rolled his ankle in Miami. Then they had another MRI, and those results are what found out that he re-ruptured the Achilles. So maybe it was in training, which would mean no, I don't think they can get cause from that.
The NFL needs like a NBA situation with buyouts.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think they might end up having to just do what the Broncos just did with Russell Wilson. Now, their situation's a little bit worse, but we've seen what Russ, the Broncos right now are in the playoffs, and they found a way to weather that storm. So maybe Cleveland just says, screw this.
Well, they got a young quarterback, too. They've got a quarterback on a rookie deal.
They
so
do,
sure
and the Browns picking it, too. Maybe they see that there's one of these guys that they like, and they take one there. Mm.
940, Biggest L delivered pizza all day by myself yesterday because everyone called in. Biggest Deb, though, made 4 bills in 8 hours.
There you go.
The Lord's work, 940. You're an absolute super beast. We love you for it. I'm glad you got tipped well. 817, Biggest L lost my job at Party City. Yeah, I guess. Aren't they all closing up shop forever?
Yes.
Isn't that what I heard?
Yes.
It's a bummer, dude. That's our guy Gonzo. But Big Dub, he's staying positive, looking for a job, and he just asks of us to keep making him laugh. So we will do that, and we will do that by laughing at Penn State losing last night. Allard looked awful. 0 completions to a wide receiver, dude. What are we playing in 1900s? This is like Broadus' brand of football back in the day. Receivers with a bagel in the catch column. That is jarring.
Warren's a pretty good player, though, isn't he?
Yeah, it's because they got their tight end who's really wide receiver one. Mm. Tyler Warren, give him some more love, guys. This guy can do everything. Mm. Quarterback, running back, tight end, offense. He's literally played every position. All right, this guy might be the most fun watch that you'll have in the draft. Tyler Warren, big 44, first-round pick. And no, 12 is not too high for a playmaker.
Wow, how about that, Walchuk, spitting
tight end or
here.
Running back, Chief? Which way are you going there?
Oh, gosh.
Hey, Tyler Warren can play both, Brian.
Come on. Give me an answer there, Chief.
Oh,
tight end.
Hurts.
We just put down the gauntlet. You're talking to two dudes on camera right now that one would take a running back and one's going to take a tight end at 12. Who are you going to do?
I hate both of you. I'm going to go tight end. I don't want to talk about it. Let's move on because I feel bad.
You're just digging in on that running back thing, man.
Yeah, I got to stay on brand.
Well, Brian, I can hand the ball off to Tyler Warren.
Yeah, sure you can.
Yeah. Big L to Brian Kelly, of course. He continues to take the L as Notre Dame.
Big L to all of us.
Now just 4 quarters away from hoisting up the championship trophy, and we all look back to 2022 when he joined LSU saying of Notre Dame, we were on different paths, and that's fine. I want to be in an environment where I have the resources to win a national championship. Marcus Freeman said, watch this, bro. Yeah. Brian Kelly continues to take the L. And then Big Dub, I would say, to the random dude who got the call up to the Bryson DeChambeau YouTube channel.
Got 100,000.
Yeah, 100,000. Bryson DeChambeau all month long in November was trying to do the viral hole-in-one challenge. It took him 16 days. It's like a 100-yard shot, and he has to shoot it over his house. It took him forever to get it done. This dude shows up, random dude, 5 swings, and he nails it. 100K, bada-boom, bada-bing, biggest dub of the week.
Hey, love
it.
Can I get one in there?
Yeah, go ahead, Lucian.
A nominee?
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan, he took a big L Monday night.
Hogan, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't like him anymore.
Yeah.
What happened?
You don't like the Hulkster, brother.
He went on some wrestling show, and the crowd booed him.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, they gave him that work.
No.
Boo.
Oh, not the Hogan.
I mean, they used to like him even when he was a bad guy. Oh. I don't know. Maybe he's still playing a bad guy. I don't know. But clearly things have not gone his direction in recent years. Yeah, and the quotes
about what he said about his daughter and the boyfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are circulating. I even screenshotted a nice little meme.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Brutal. Brutal stuff there from Hogan, and it's good to see the community's paying attention. I guess he's just he's lost his fan base because, you know.
They're old?
Yeah.
He couldn't rip his shirt properly.
Oh,
I'm trying to get a rip your brother.
Yeah. If that's your whole bit and it's gone, then you probably should hang
it up. You got to pre-rip that shirt for Hulk, man.
Okay, we have a special guest joining us. The C-Note's coming up at 3:20. We'll be talking Cowboys with you, but Ohio State, Texas coming up next, and Quan Cosby, a hero last time Texas and Ohio State played in a big bowl game, will join us and break this game down. We'll stroll down memory lane with him coming up next. It's the G-Back Nation. The fan.